Going to be looking at the 8th chapter, and we're going to just look at just a couple verses. I would encourage you to read this book in its entirety. It is a love story. It is poems. It is a dedication to the one you love. Amen. And most importantly, it is God's inspired word, the book of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7. Amen. Going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Amen. Let me give a special shout out to certain individuals that are on the broadcast today, to Sister Valerie Green. I want you to know that we are earnestly and constantly praying for you and your family. To the assistant pastor here at Macedonia, Sister Mamie Sargent, Evangelist Mamie Sargent, and Brother Willie, we're asking God for speedy recovery on your behalf. I saw that Evangelist Stewart, amen, Maria Stewart, is on the broadcast today in California. We pray that your rehab is going well, amen. And to all of God's children, we say welcome, and we hope that you are blessed on today. Amen. Again, Song of Solomon, 8th chapter, verses 6 and 7, reading out of the New King James Version. And it says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most venomous flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inspired word. For the first time speaking from the Song of Solomon, I want to preach from the subject, Song of Songs, a love poem. Song of Songs, a love poem. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would bless right now. I ask that you would move right now. I ask that you would endow me right now. Lord, allow these lips of clay to proclaim your word with power. Father God, we already know that your word is anointed. But Father God, now, Lord, let it manifest amongst your people. Let them have ears to hear and hearts to receive what says the Lord. And then, Father God, let us know the true essence of what love is all about, not only by your word, but by your sacrifice. When you allowed your son Jesus to die on Calvary's cross, that we might have the right to the tree of life. So, Father God, as this word goes forth, let it do what it was intended to do, and that is to save a sinner. Strengthen a saint, heal, deliver, and set free. That is my prayer. That is the prayer that we need right now, Lord. Send your power, Lord, for those that are lost, for those that need deliverance, for those who need a healing, for those that need a little more love. Father God, move by your power and by your strength. In Jesus' precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, we are preaching from this special day on Sunday, Valentine's Day. We are preaching the Song of Songs, a love poem. The Song of Solomon presents in graphic details the love of Solomon for a young woman. And it expressly speaks of the love with which she reciprocates. There in the book of Solomon, there is raw passion in the Song of Songs. However, there's a however or but, there is an aspect of love that is absent from much of the love or the our love today that is written in this brief book. One of the things that stuck out for me was, till death do us part. Vows that declare the marriage will last so long as love shall last. Vow infidelity so long as both shall live. And I suspect that men and women today are as romantic as they ever were. Every woman under the, not only under the sound of my voice, but every woman across this country wants to be appreciated for who she is, loved for her own character, and not only for what her love can give. Men still want companionship, someone who will stand with them as they move throughout the stages of life. Both men and women today are inundated with the message that they must engage in an endless search for satisfaction. I know I'm right about it because there's reasons the search becomes empty. And the reason for that is that they are taught that personal gratification trumps selfless love that gives without the thought of even receiving. And I suspect that having been raised in the confused and confusing atmosphere of this modern pursuit of personal gratification, it will be nearly impossible, beloved, to believe that one can find fulfillment through giving without reservation. However, the precepts of the word stands. Amen, somebody. Commitment to one person and selfless giving to make him or her and all that she or he should be still yield the richest reward. I know I'm right about it because when we start to think about the one we love and the things that we put them through and the things that they find out truly about us, it takes a give and take type of relationship for it to last very long. Before I launch into this love poem, I believe it would prove beneficial to take the time to point out the different complexes of the word love. The Hebrew terms, Minister Smith, speaks of affection between two human beings as well as people loving God. In a similar manner, God loves mankind, especially his chosen people, Israel. Husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to love their husbands. People may love things that are concrete or abstract. Let's use Isaac as an example. Isaac loved delicious foods. The psalmist loved God's commandments, his laws, his testimonies, and his precepts. At other times, men are said to love death, vain words. Men are said to love peace and truth, salvation and wisdom. Thus, it should be evident that the concept conveys by the Hebrew word is similar to what is conveyed in the most neutral sense of our English language, love. In the Greek word, it translates into three concepts. It refers to love as an act of love, the physical expression of love, and the speaking of affection. However, God's love for mankind and consequently the love that is urged on all of us who believe in the Son of God, it is a selfless love that seeks to benefit the one loved. I need to say that again, because I believe that if we are who we say we are as far as God's children and the love that he had displayed upon us, it should be manifested in our spirit and in our act, that the selfless love that God displayed upon us is the selfless love that we should display not only on the one we love, but those that we come in contact with. Because when we show love and we share it in a godly, loving way, God then reciprocates it by others. Maybe not the person that is receiving it, but God dispenses the love selflessly upon us. And I believe that this selfless and sacrificial love is in view of our text today. The verses before us in this text are powerful words if we understand what it says. So first of all, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to pray right now. You're going to have to pray and say, Lord, give me understanding so that I might have wisdom about what these words that you are letting me be privy to, so that I can allow it to be a shining example of what your will and your way might be when it comes to love. The verse opens up with a plea for love's acceptance. Look at it right here in verse number 6. And you will see the words start off with, set me as a seal upon your heart. Love that meets the biblical criteria accepts the one loved and seeks acceptance from that one. Understand the significance of this seal. The Shulamite woman who is Solomon's love interest in this poem pleads for acceptance. She says, set me as a seal upon your heart. This is her request. Now, why was this so important? This is so important because this plea is followed by the equally strong request to set me as a seal upon your arm. The Shulamite woman is asking to mark her love as belonging to her. She is not asking to be possessed, meaning I don't want you to possess me or have possession over me. What she is saying is that she is pleading with Solomon to take possession of her, but rather she is asking him to commit himself to her. She is not a property. She is not a part of any many wives. She is not a thing. She is not a place. She is not a person that has to do whatever I say, but she is one that is committed to the one she loves, and all she wants is a reciprocation of that same love. And sometimes what happens with us is that we sometimes take love for granted. Sometimes we don't cherish the one that truly we made the commitment with. Think about it. When you was dating, you made sure that you smelled good, and you made sure that you looked good, and you made sure that your hair was did right, and you made sure that all things was checked and everything was looking A-okay so that you could style and profile so that you could make a good impression. And once you won, that first test, and you won the second test and even the third test, and there you got a commitment of a relationship, then you said, well, I already achieved what I needed to achieve so I can fall back on my laurels. Well, I'm here to let you know that when you commit to somebody and you make that commitment, you got to be there always at all times. She is taking her love as a signature mark that he is committed to her. This is a statement indicating the absolute devotion of a couple in love. The words are an expression of the love they have for one another. Undoubtedly, the passion of love is inherited in this portion of the poem and provides ample evidence of a deep burning passion that comes from committing to one another and of the acceptance of one another. I need you to understand these words of this text speaks of unbreakable devotion. Oh, just walk with me just a little bit, because I'm going somewhere. Because in order to be accepted, you have to be committed. And so next we will see love's endurance. Love, beloved, never ends. Love is stronger than death. You know, if you have ever been in love, the intensity of love, loving another stirs up the emotions as few others expect of like can. What I mean by that is that sometimes we get so full of ourselves that we don't realize that the words and the expression and the emotions that we transfer to the one that we claim we love sometimes causes a distraction or causes confusion or causes things to happen that is not of God. Matter of fact, if you don't even want to use God, not of love. The things that come out of this most powerful weapon called the tongue and the actions that comes along with it sometimes will make someone say, did I really develop a relationship with this person? I need you to see the Shulamite woman which shocks us by introducing an unexpected characteristic by comparing love to death. Look at it right here. It says that jealousy, or let me start first, says love is stronger as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. But the jealousy that she's talking about is not me being envious. It's not being, not me looking at you saying it's all about you. Why not it be about me? What she's saying is that death was considered the strongest thing known to mankind in ancient days, and death still is as strong. But we as believers, we who claim to be believers, know that death is a hollow fear since Christ's resurrection. So the woman affirms that love is stronger than death, and she declares her love, and even death cannot destroy her love. I need you to see this in its entirety by reading the entire book of Solomon. The woman affirms that her love and the commitment and the acceptance of love is stronger than even death. And that means that not death do you part, but I love you even if it means death. This becomes evident when we translate jealousy more properly to passion. It is not to be understood as a negative emotion, but rather it should be understood in the positive sense. Such love ensures the couple that has been married for years not only grows comfortable with one another, but the bond that binds them and strengthens them day by day. They have passed through trials, supporting one another without surrendering their individuality. They have seen the worst in each other, and yet they have brought out the best in one another. The word speaks of love that builds up, that makes another better. Love that glorifies the one loved. The concept is biblical jealousy, not the desire to possess with wicked designs on the one possessed. It denotes a single mind devotion to the one they love. Beloved, love is unstoppable. Love is able to overcome negative forces that threatens our lives. Love can be overcome, can overcome chaos, create an order in life. Love shares the bond and binds us together permanently. The passion of our love holds us relentlessly as death. And such love is desired by all and discovered by so few. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see God in the mix? The thing that got me was today's world comprises or conspires against such love, focusing as it does on one facet while neglecting relationship, passion, and shared excitement. The passion of our love holds us relentlessly as death. Today, we see here that the Shulamite continues her sequility, speaking of the passion of her love and the love that is generated. She compares the passion of love to the very flame of God. Then she points out that the waters are incapable of drowning the fiery flames of love. If you look at this from a godly perspective, think of the tenacious love that God has for his people. God loves us because It's his nature. So if it's his nature, should it not be our nature? God loves us as he's shown in his creation. So if he loves his creation, shouldn't we love that creation? Love that God is shown in his grace. So if God can love us so much to dispense his grace, shouldn't we surely do the same and dispense grace on another? God's love is sovereign. And if God's love is sovereign, shouldn't our love be that shining example? I know I'm right about it because God has revealed his love to all. So if he can reveal his love to all, shouldn't we reveal the same love to the ones we encounter? He loves us without our earning it. And if we didn't earn it, then why are we criticizing those who have looked to earn it themselves? I'm here to let you know about this love poem, that God's love is a covenant love. And that means that his promises will never be broken. I'm so glad that God is showing us the way to how we should love one another, not just in a passionate, in a relationship, in a monogamous way, but we should be loving everyone that we come in contact with. It don't matter what your position might be. It don't matter what political party you serve. It don't matter if you hate me, because God has shown us what love is really all about. If you go back into the recesses of your mind, when you was tied up, tangled up and twisted up, don't you know that how you became unshackled by sin was God came and wrapped himself in human flesh. He came down through 42 generations. He walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Judea. He healed the sick and he raised the dead and he fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. That's love. He did all of that knowing what his purpose was going to be. They was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They came to arrest him. Even Peter tried to defend him, but God said, leave it alone, because my will and my way must be done. They took him from courtroom the courtroom. They gave him a kangaroo trial. They accused him and then convicted him. They took him and marched him up Golgotha's hill with an old rugged cross. But he still continued his mission. He had a mission out of love. I'm so glad when they hung him, high and they stretched him wide. They nailed his hands and they nailed his feet. But that wasn't enough to get their point across. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They pierced him in his side. They cursed him. They spit it on him. And even more, they hung him in between two thieves. They tried to categorize him as the king of the Jews. And if he was bad enough, and if he was bold enough, come on down and show who you really are. But I'm so glad that he still loved us and loved them so much that they stayed there on Calvary's cross. When he died, and he did die, they laid him in a borrowed tomb. When he stayed there Friday night, they were out there partying and celebrating because they thought they did something that they didn't even believe. They didn't think he was going to raise from the grave. They didn't even believe he was the Messiah. He was there after the party on Saturday morning. When they woke up, they saw that the tomb was still sealed. When he came on Saturday night, they start to have another party. But the problem was the party was just about to begin, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands, and that's love. See, his love is an abiding love. He said that if you abide in me, I will abide in you. His love is eternal, because he even showed himself later on to the disciples. And even though they wasn't all the way with them, he still loved them so much that he said, bring the disciples and bring them to me. And then he said, and go get Peter too. And then Thomas didn't even believe. He had to see tangible proof. Some of us still need to see tangible proof. But I'm here to let you know that the proof is his love. His proof is his abiding love. His proof is the covenant love. Because he's a covenant keeper. He's not a promise breaker. And I'm so glad that God thought enough of us to die on the cross. Even though we were still going to be messy, even though we were still going to be distracted, I'm so glad that God still seals us with his love. So here it is. Here it is. If you want God to show love, all you got to do is continue looking at his word. If you want God to show you what a love story is, all you got to do is read his word. If you want to know how to love better, all you got to do is go to his word. Listen, I'm not where I would like to be, but I'm so glad that I have a chance to be better than I was yesterday. See, love is all about showing love. It's not about receiving, it's about showing. See, I'm thankful for the love of my life. I'm thankful for my wife, Linda. I'm thankful for how she puts up with me. I'm thankful for how she deals with me. I'm thankful how she supports me. I'm thankful for how she started at a young age and the infatuation turned to like and the like turned to love. And now, she has reaffirmed her love by sharing with me this morning that because of God, she's going to love me even better. And so I have to accept that because it's coming from God. It's not coming from her, it's coming from God. And so how I reciprocate that is to show that same love. So sometimes I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut on some situations. Sometimes I'm going to have to stretch out and I'm going to have to do more. Sometimes I'm going to have to be there and let her be who she is that God created her to be. That's what we got to do, beloved. In order to love and truly have this love poem on this journey while we enjoy it, is we have to go and we have to stretch beyond what we think the conscious or the ideal of what love is. Love is not about what this world has dictated. Love is much more, it's much deeper than that. And to have a deepened relationship with someone or others, it has to start with God. It has to start with God. Listen, if you don't know Jesus in your life, then you can't have the relationship of what God wants to develop in you. I'm talking first to the ones that already have this relationship, and if you want it deepened, you got to let God show you what love really all about. And then for those that are dealing with the messiness of the word, the worldly word of love, I need you to understand, maybe it's not love. Maybe it's lust. I said this before, and I'll say it again. We have to stop having an affair with the Lord, and we have to start being in love with the Lord. You know, there's a difference between somebody saying, I love you, and somebody saying, I'm in love with you. See, God can say, I love you, because he showed it by his actions, because he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die. And he said, and then God displayed his love on the cross and said, I'm in love with you because I'm going to stay on the cross. Now, I'm not asking you to die, and God ain't asking you to either. But what he's saying is that we need to show that same example of not only loving, but in love. I love something that my friend and my brother from a different mother, Pastor Bruce Hall, used to sing this song. We know it was by someone else, but I love it when he sings it. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I ever done. That's what we got to start doing. I know Valentine's Day is about lovers. I know Valentine's Day is about hearts and candy and flowers and dinners and all that. I get it. But I'm saying, why don't we have a godly love? The godly love saying, Lord, I'm falling in love with you. And as I continue to get deeper in my relationship and my love for you, I know because of your covenant love, it's going to be the best thing that I've ever done. I would appeal to each and every one of you. First, if you don't know Jesus, in the pardons of your sins, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not made a decision, then you might not know what I'm talking about. But maybe you're searching for that love. Beloved, let me tell you something. All you got to do is pray to